Yo, 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 it's the 1, 2, 3 Sore Losers! The podcast is back in action. I can't believe we're still doing this thing. Eddie is here. What up?
What up, Ray? I'm Eddie. I'm the one that knows the least about sports, and I'm cool with it. Who cares?
At least sound confident when you talk. You don't even sound like you're confident in your name.
I'm Eddie?
You sound terrible. I think. And Lunchbox, the absolute man. I love listening to this guy every day.
That's right. I'm the man that knows the most about sports. I eat, sleep, drink, whatever you say, sports, and I try to carry the show, and hopefully it stays on track. And then we got our boy Ray.
Yeah.
He's just the gambler.
Yeah, he's a degenerate gambler. And so we like to start off the show with, like, you know, who would you rather be today? Would you rather be?
Oh, another round?
Yes.
Bring it!
Well, you doubted it first, and now you're like, bring it?
No, because I kind of just got into it right
here. All right, let's go.
Who would you rather be, Nick Saban or Bill Belichick?
I got to go Nick Saban. He's got a lake house. They've shown it on SportsCenter before, and he seems like he's cooler in the offseason. They've done SportsCenter specials on him where he just actually lets his hair down and chills. I don't know if I've ever seen anything of Bill Belichick having fun. I don't think the dude has a fun life. Yeah. I go Saban, I'd rather live in Alabama instead of Massachusetts.
I'm going to agree with Ray. I think Saban looks like he's got a cooler life. He's got a better outlook on life, I think. Belichick just looks just grumpy and just tired of life, and he probably just sits and complains at everything, like, you know, my car won't start today. Stupid car. With this stupid person with a grocery basket, you know, like getting in my way. Hate everything. Saban looks cool. I like him. I'd rather be him.
I'd rather be Bill Belichick. Every day of the week, twice on Sundays. A, you don't have to babysit a bunch of college kids. You don't have to go on the road and recruit these kids. Oh, come to Alabama. We promise you this. We promise you that. Let me kiss butt to these 18-year-old punk kids. No, I want to be Bill Belichick where I am in the NFL getting paid millions. I don't have to once I leave work, I don't have to worry about, oh, are my guys going to get in trouble? No way. He's flying private, but Nick Saban is too.
I'm pretty sure they all do.
But in the offseason, he doesn't have to recruit anybody. He's off. Once the season's over, he just relaxes. I mean, he may watch game tape or whatever, but he doesn't have to go to people's houses all over the country and say, come to my school.
You think Saban like is like the professor in college where you can just go to his office and say what's up? Like, or is it just like, no, you don't mess with Saban. Like, you don't just walk in his office.
You think he has an open door policy where guys just go talk to him? Absolutely not.
In the movie
crazy?
Rudy, all those dudes went up with their jersey and like, coach, I want Rudy to get in my place. Like, people do that with Saban?
You do not just go have a conversation with Saban. I guarantee you guys sometimes leave that program, they're like, man, I don't know if I had one real talk with Saban.
I'll agree with you on that. I do not think he has an if you're a star, if you're one of the top 5 or 10 players, yes, you can go to his office. But if you're Jackson, Wyoming, and you're on special teams, he doesn't know your name. He doesn't know where you're from. He forgot all about you. They got assistant coaches to deal with Jackson, Wyoming's all the time.
You're a red shirt, and you just started dating a girl, and you got this question like, oh, Saban's kind of like a father figure to me. I'm knocking on the door. Hey, coach, just quick life question. Just started dating this girl. I don't know if she's really into me. What should I do? Like, no?
Question for you.
Yeah.
Why did you throw red shirt in there?
Because that's someone who's not important, really.
Okay. I was just wondering if I didn't know if you had there was something to the story. But yes, I do not think he can go to Nick Saban, anybody, and say, hey, I got a relationship question. Nick Saban does not have time for your dumb relationship and your girlfriend.
Well, how many times have you talked to the suits here, had a sit down with them?
A lot more than I thought I would.
I actually have a couple, and they've been great talks.
Yeah, and so to my point, if I were Saban, I would change that up. Open door policy. Come talk to me.
Tell him.
Yeah, I mean, all those national titles, I don't think he needs to change anything. I think he's doing just fine the way he is.
Just saying.
Hey, coach, there's a guy on a sports talk show on a podcast that says you need to have an open-door policy.
What's the podcast name? Sore Losers?
Yeah, exactly. They're losers. We don't lose here in Alabama. I'm Nick Saban. Get out. Bye.
Get the hell out of my office. Shut the door.
Let's move on to a big day yesterday for our boy, or at least I like him, Odell Beckham Jr.
Hey, boy, we missed that one by, like, what, 30 minutes after yesterday's podcast?
Hey, $95 million.
But how much is guaranteed?
$65 million guaranteed.
Yeah!
And I don't understand, like, the salary cap and how they do these contracts don't really make sense to me, because they said this year they gave him, he's going to make, like, 1 point something million towards the cap, but he got a $20 million signing bonus. So the how they do these contracts is very interesting. I am not a math person, and I don't know how to break it all down. But I just know he got $65 million guaranteed. So if he blows out his knee and he can't ever play again, he still got $65 million.
If he gets traded or even he retires, does he still get that?
If he retires, I do not believe so. Okay. If you're retired due to injury,
yeah,
he gets $65 million. If he's traded, still gets $65 million. So they say $95 million, but after the 3 years, which is the guaranteed, I think they renegotiate. Something happens because he's older than Eli Manning. But they can afford, I think, to pay the wide receiver that much because Eli Manning's towards the end. They're going to have a quarterback that's going to be cheap, and you can pay a star wide receiver that money. Now the highest paid wide receiver, what up?
Giants are going to be good.
This year?
Saquon Barkley?
Yep.
You think they're going to be good?
Yep.
The Giants are going to be good.
Absolutely. Last year, they were bad. Why? Offensive line was bad. They upgraded offensive line. They had no wide receivers. Everybody was hurt, and they had no running back. Saquon Barkley, boom, back there, taking some pressure off Eli Manning, and now he has weapons. Just get rid of the ball. Do I want to say it?
New coach.
They win the division.
Oh, get out of here. Shut up. You know who else is in that division? Cowboys. Shut up. Hey, but here's a sign that I saw that
you
thought
are
was really,
in love with the Cowboys.
That's my team. How about them boys? What I saw was really weird. This is a telltale for me. Preseason, what is it, week four preseason? Most teams, if their starting quarterback plays, they're going to play for the first quarter, and that's it. Dude, Eli played the whole first half.
No. You're wrong.
No, I watched it.
But you're wrong on your theory. It was the third week. I'm going to tell you, it was the third week of preseason, and usually teams use that as a dress rehearsal, and a lot of the starters play the first half.
Ooh.
So some teams do decide to sit them, but the ones that do play, they do play a lot more because they count that as quote-unquote a dress rehearsal. And the professional gamblers, they pay attention to that one more because they want to win that game more than any other preseason game because that's when they're actually trying and drawing up plays for the people that do play.
I like your theory. My theory is the coach was like, all right, Eli, we need to get together. I'm a new guy. I'm a new coach. We need to work a little more. We need to figure a lot of things out. We don't really know what we're doing. Play the first half. That's my theory. And I'm probably an idiot. I'm probably wrong about it.
No, you could be right.
But that's what I saw. And I was like, I don't see a lot of teams doing this. I don't see the Giants winning the division yet. I don't even see them winning more than five games.
All those other sports talk shows where they talk about the exhibition games, about how long guys play in the games. Who cares?
I'm sorry. I'm excited that football started. If there's preseason on TV, I'm watching it.
Hey, guys, it's Eddie. Eli Manning played for two quarters. What does that mean? I'll hang up and listen.
All right, hey, guys, I'll take the call off air, man. I'll take the answer off air. I'll just listen. You guys got a great show. All right.
I hope I'm not reading too much into Eli playing till the halftime whistle.
That just means the coach doesn't believe they're very good, so they got to play the first half. And see,
you just recapped everything I'm saying. Thanks,
guys.
Here's
the great thing. This is the great thing about preseason. You can take whatever you want from the preseason. Oh, they didn't play because they want to avoid injury. Or they're playing against backups, so it doesn't really matter. Or, oh, Sam Darnold looked amazing. He's going to be a star.
Yeah, get out of here.
It's just, see, that's what I'm saying. We said that about Dak Prescott a couple years ago. Oh, it's just preseason. It's just preseason. Then the regular season, he had a great time. He had a great year.
And a great time.
And a great time. Yeah. So Odell signs yesterday. Biggest contract, wide receiver, $95 million. And then the sad news comes out. The very, very sad news for me. Manu Ginobili retires from basketball.
Manu.
And for you guys that are new, don't know who we are, I am a diehard San Antonio Spurs fan. Manu Ginobili has been my favorite Spur. I could watch him play. He never took a night. He took a night off when Pop would rest him. But if he's playing, it's 100%.
Yes.
And he was the ultimate teammate, diving on the ground. He was so much fun to watch. I love the way he played with no fear. And he was willing to take chances. He would throw a one-handed bounce pass between your legs. I just love him. And yesterday, I was genuinely sad when he announced he retired.
What does that say for the Spurs, you know, looking into next year? Like, I know you see these veterans, these guys that maybe performance-wise they're not really leading the team. But locker room, morale, this dude, I mean, Manu was one of the OGs of the championship Spurs. Like, what does that mean now? They got to start over? They got to start looking for other – they don't really have that role model that they need.
Right. It's a new generation. Like, the Spurs had Duncan, Parker, and Ginobili
right.
since, I believe it was at least 98, I want to say, maybe 97 was the last time they played a game where one of those people was not on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole new thing. But with Popovich, I think Popovich is the anchor.
Yeah.
He will develop people to be those leaders. And hopefully, I'm hoping Manu comes on as a coach. I've not heard that anywhere.
Cool,
I've not read that anywhere. But I would love to see Manu on the bench to mentor these younger guys, because I believe in Popovich and their GM, R.C. Buford. I think what they do, they will figure it out. So as I was sitting there yesterday, he was one of my favorite people to watch play basketball. And, of course, Michael Jordan. But I want to know if you guys have a list of people, and it doesn't have to be just basketball, that you just love watching on the TV. You just they mesmerized you. For me, Manu Ginobili. For me, Barry Sanders. I'm a Bears fan, and so I hated seeing Barry Sanders run against the Bears. But I just loved the way he could move, and just he was so amazing to watch.
Breaking tackle after tackle, yes. Or just plowing through a line.
And I will never forget, I'm watching him run down the sideline against the Bears one time, and I look like he is going to get his clock cleaned. Right on the sideline, I'm like, oh, yeah. And he literally just stops on a dime, Bears defender, flies past, jogs into the end zone, touchdown. And I was just like, that is an amazing run. Who you got?
So I'm gonna tag team on your running back, Emmitt Smith. When Emmitt Smith was on the loose and going, and he was right about to hit that end zone, he would start high kicking. Dude, I loved every – I think he's so – underrated, and no one ever talks about Emmitt, you know, when they talk about the league's best running backs ever. I mean, he's easily top five to me. But Emmitt Smith, dude, when he'd high step into the end zone, one of my favorite things to watch.
To you, because you're a homer and you're a Cowboys fan.
Yep.
For me personally, I got to say Jordan, obviously, OGs of the NBA. And then I got to say Barry Bonds, when he hit those home runs, man, that was amazing.
He was roided up.
Yeah, there was some steroids in
allegedly.
Him.
Allegedly.
They never convicted him?
Yeah, I don't think he ever got in trouble. I mean, convicted of it. But another person for me, and it was two sports.
Bo Jackson.
Neon.
Oh, Deion. Of course.
Sanders.
Dude.
On the football field and on the baseball field. So fun to watch. I mean, just superb athlete, just did everything with grace and just was so smooth, and his swag was awesome.
So I was watching a baseball game the other night, and there were, I guess, just where the crowd mics are, they were picking up these little girls that were just like, the whole game. And finally the announcers are like, okay, sounds like some people are having a really good time here, but they need to keep it down a little bit. And it reminded me of when I went to go see the Astros. My dad took me to go see the Astros. They were playing the Braves, and I was sitting in the outfield, front row, right over Neon Deion, and I'm yelling the whole game, Deion! Deion! Dude, I finally got people in the crowd just being like, shut up already. Shut up. He's not going to turn around. He's not going to look at you. He's not going to talk to you. Shut up. I was like, dang, that was me the other day yelling at the TV like, okay, they need to shut these girls up. Like, it's so annoying.
Did Deion ever acknowledge you?
Never acknowledged me.
See, because I can one-up you. I was in St. Louis, Busch Stadium, and Ozzie Smith.
Okay.
My dad's favorite team is the St. Louis Cardinals. And so I'm trying to get Ozzie Smith's autograph on a baseball for my dad. And I am standing by the Cardinals dugout just yelling, Ozzie! Ozzie! I'm there pregame, you know, during batting
BP,
practice,
yeah.
Everything. And he's walking around, Ozzie! Ozzie!
Ozzie!
And then he finally looks up from the dugout and goes, hey, man, calm down. And so he comes out. Goes out, plays some catch, comes in, starts signing autographs. The guy right on my right doesn't have a pen. So I hand the guy my pen. Ozzie signs for him and does not sign for me and goes back in the dugout.
So you're a big Ozzie Smith fan? Lifer?
Well, he didn't do it on purpose.
But you were the one that called him out.
I know. And he told me to calm down. He used my pen to sign for the guy next to me and then went in the dugout.
Dude,
and Ozzie Smith, I'll be honest, I love watching Ozzie Smith play. He was smooth, and when he'd run out and do the flip for a game, amazing.
One thing I saw that I'll never forget is I was covering the Rangers for news, and Josh Hamilton was there walking in from BP, and he was walking in, what?
Is that his,
okay, and he was walking into the dugout, and these little kids were there like, Josh, send it, send it, send it, send it. And so he asked for the ball that they have.
And may I have the ball?
Yeah, he just said, like, you know, waved his hand, give me the ball.
Oh, put your hand up, yeah.
Yeah, put his hand. And this guy, older dude, probably in his 40s, throws the ball. Josh gets the ball, throws it away. Like, doesn't even throw it back to the dude, throws it just to the an empty seat, and then asks the kid, give me your ball. Kid throws the ball, he signs it, and hands it back to the kid. Dude, he totally disrespected that guy. And the guy was like, WTF, man, that's my ball. Like, why would you do that?
Well, yeah, because he was obviously looking for the little kid, and he was like, okay, you adult, you don't need an autograph.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Is it okay for adults to ask for autographs?
Yes. But you can buy all these guys autographs online for $30. I get the thrill of doing it in person.
There you go.
But you also got to think of that. If you're a player, it's not that big of a deal if they don't sign for you. They can go online. They have jobs. You can afford a $25 autograph.
But these players do they avoid the adults because they think that they're selling the signature?
That's exactly why.
A majority of them are, especially when they're doing pictures. Those pictures are things they can hawk real quick, and it doesn't cost much to mail them. The balls and stuff is more weighty, but if a guy's getting a picture signed with an artist, a country artist, baseball, sports, any sports, that's the people that are reselling it, the pictures.
And over the years, the players know who these guys are. They know, they recognize them, they see them all the time, and they're signing five
big
different...
Big belly, wearing Coke bottle glasses.
Yeah, they got spaghetti sauce on their shirt.
Stains on their shirt.
Pepsi can in their hands.
Yes, you can identify them.
Looks like
easy.
He's been up all night.
Of course, got bags under his eyes.
Oh. But yeah, so Manu Ginobili, as you ride off under the sunset, I just want to say thank you from a Spurs fan and Spurs Nation and a basketball fan. You were an absolute, I know you're going to listen to this, an absolute pleasure to watch, to cheer for, and you are a Mr. Spur, and I cannot wait to see you in the Basketball Hall of Fame. And I think I may go to the, if they have induction ceremony like they do baseball, I would like to go to see Manu Ginobili get inducted.
I knew Lunch was going to want to stop down so he could give his respects to Manu. I also would like to give my respects in fantasy the past 3 years. He's been amazing for 2 fantasy points a game, and I appreciate that. Because he was always the cheapest guy, and he would come in off the bench and put in some fantasy points for you.
And can I just make
it was more than 2. I was being sarcastic. He did a great job off the bench in fantasy.
He's a killer, dude.
I wish younger players or even older players would look at Manu Ginobili and realize it's okay that you're not a starter. He accepted his role. He came in off the bench and he was amazing. Just because you come off the bench doesn't mean you're not great. Not great. You are amazing. He's going to the Hall of Fame and he didn't start the majority of his NBA career. So that should just tell you that you can still make an impact off the bench. Next to last pick when he was drafted.
Great
now
point.
Now going to the Hall of Fame.
Great point.
And hey, now we're moving on.
Wait, can I just say one thing since you guys had your thing? And he's probably listening. So I just want to say, like, muchas gracias, Manu. Gracias para todo. Go Spurs, go.
You don't even know what that means.
Of course I do. I'm Mexican.
You know he's Argentinian. He's
not
Mexican.
Yeah, they speak Spanish. You know they
speak
Spanish
Portuguese?
In Argentina? No, that's Brazil.
Yeah, they're next door to each other.
No, they're not.
No, same continent?
Actually, don't know. Yeah, South America, but I don't know if they're close to each other.
Is that a continent?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
All right, what's next?
Well, Manu's over. He's gone.
Yeah.
But you know what's back?
What?
College football. That's right. College football this weekend. I mean, what are we, 3 days away? 3 days away, boys. And so my question for you is, week one of the college football season, what are you looking forward to most? Raymond.
Yeah, for me, it's no doubt. Sunday night, a lot of people have work. It's Labor Day, right?
Yeah.
I have all my boys coming into town. I'm talking probably a party of 15 people.
Dudes are coming into town?
And chicks.
Wow, okay.
Getting an Airbnb. We're jumping back and forth from my downtown apartment to this Airbnb, and we have the Sunday night game, LSU versus the U. It is going to be awesome. I can't believe we get that game as the first game. For the first week. That's such an awesome. My boy is from Miami.
Cool, man. South Beach.
So we're like, do we bet the U? Do we bet LSU? We don't know yet. But it is a huge game. We're all going to be drinking and watching that game.
Hey, Ray, how much money do you have set aside for college football betting?
1,000.
1,000.
Yeah.
And that's just for the first weekend?
No, for just start it off.
Okay.
If you lose that, you got to start thinking about some stuff.
It's like Vegas, you roll up with 1,000, but then always have your ATM card just in case.
No, not going back in the bank. That 1,000 is going to get you through. You need $1,000. If you're out there considering betting, you need $1,000.
No one can, you act like
no
everyone can afford $1,000.
Go to work. If you don't have a family. If you have a family, no, I get it, goes
coach,
to the kids.
No, everyone. If you have a family, get a second job. I mean, you have to have some income for the gambling season.
Thank you. It's football season.
Am I the only reasonable one here?
It makes the games so much better, and a lot of people, it's lucrative. You make money on the weekends.
Dude, I just had to ask my wife if it's okay if I set aside $300 for the NFL football season.
Yeah, we need to get you another debit card.
$300.
Or we need to get you another wife, one of the two.
Hey, we're going to get you a side account. She's not going to see any of this. It's going to be your football money.
Yeah, you got to withdraw money every paycheck and just hide it in the attic.
Dang, dude, you guys are a different level.
And people that are married that don't have like a side account or side, I can't believe you put all, some people put all their money into an account and are.
You're talking about a side account that their wife doesn't know about?
Or if she does know about it, just like,
she just doesn't have the password.
You don't need to know about that. That's my other account from college. They don't need to know about all your money.
And by the way, Ray is not married, so in case you're wondering.
I'm not married. I have a girlfriend.
Right. My best friend's dad, growing up, he was worried that his wife would spend all the money, so he took cash and he would hide it in the attic. I'm not joking. He hid money in the attic that my buddy knew about, his brother, and his dad.
But his wife never knew.
The mom never knew.
Get out. Did she ever find out?
No. He may still do it to this day.
And it's weird that you know about it and his own wife doesn't. See, that's not what marriage is about, though. Seriously.
No.
And
because she would spend all the money. She would spend all the money. She likes to spend money.
Yeah, talk about it. Have some control over it. Like, not just hide the money. No one's learning from that. I don't understand that, but I don't know. There's no way that I can have an account. I think the only thing I've ever done is have my own credit card, but even then, like, my wife does all, she pays for everything.
You bad boy.
My wife pays the bills, like literally. I make the money.
Yeah, it's real hard to pay bills. You can do it all online. It autos.
Well, I'm not giving her credit, I'm just telling you the way my household is run.
No, I can't believe you. All the money, just here's our money. I mean, you gotta have stuff on. It's your side stuff, man.
Shut up.
You gotta have some hidden in your pockets,
boys.
Like,
I've been in so
much
trouble.
I've got to ask my wife first if I can bet this football season.
I've been in so much trouble in my marriage.
Hey, honey, is it okay if I join a fantasy football league? I need your permission before I can do that. Because if you say no, then I just won't play fantasy this year.
Okay, so Ray's not married, but Lunchbox, really, you don't ask your wife, can I spend $1,000?
Nope. Because she knows...
Swear
it's
to
my
God.
Money. Yeah, it's my. We have separate accounts.
Swear on your baby son.
Yes.
Your newborn.
My wife and I have separate accounts. So why would I need to
ask
her?
So if you have a gambling problem and you waste all your money.
Then it's my money.
Okay, and you go broke on your account. So what does your wife do?
She has her money.
She has to carry the family because you're irresponsible with yours?
Yeah, I guess so. Same thing. If she goes broke, I got to carry the family from her gambling problem.
Great formula.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so we're back to college football. This weekend, what am I most looking forward to? I cannot wait for Auburn, Washington.
Forgot about that one.
That is going to be a boom. Here we go. War Eagle. What about the Huskies? What do they do?
Rawr.
And I'm interested to see how Maryland, because they have had,
Texas.
Why am I interested in Maryland, though?
Oh, the coach.
Oh, you talked about the coach.
The coach. They've had some. The kid died. There's an investigation. Does the team, have they already given up on the season? You're going to find out week one if you need to bet against Maryland every week.
I got to see these teams because I don't know if they still have that dual threat quarterback they had whatever last year or the year before.
Well, they've
had some awesome quarterbacks.
Well, they did. They're supposed to be kind of decent. Because last year they were good, and then their quarterback got hurt. And then they brought in another quarterback. He got hurt. They were down to like their four-string quarterback.
I think they might have a dirty quarterback this year.
So, who is it?
Well, no, once the season starts.
I mean, I don't know his
name. Dude, I only know what I see on SportsCenter. You know what half the time I'm looking at? People getting interviewed about pointless stuff.
It's true.
Like, show me highlights. Show me the quarterback. Show me cool stuff where they're chilling in their dorm rooms. Instead, SportsCenter just does these stupid...
Oh, wait.
He
you
wants to see
them
chilling in their dorm rooms.
Hey, guys, we're going to do a live looking at Alabama right now. Tuscaloosa, these guys chilling in their dorm rooms.
And what are they going to be doing in there?
Playing video games? Playing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Real exciting, Ray.
Just my idea for sports.
Dude, on the crawl, I feel like the crawl yesterday was full of all these suspensions of all these like college players, coaches.
And
the first week, it's like, dude, it was nonstop. So and so suspended for four games.
And the crawl is a little full with U.S. Open tennis. Sorry about that. There's women's scores and men's to go through. If you're waiting on a score from the crawl, good luck, because it's going to take about 10 minutes on the bottom line.
Yeah, so that's college football this weekend. Eddie, are you excited?
No, I don't really care. I mean, I just like to watch the games, and then in a couple weeks I'll have an idea of who's good, who's not, and then I'll start watching.
Well, I'll tell you, just before the season starts, if you want to look at the rankings, they have them 1 through 25.
Rankings to me is complete BS.
No, you're right. I agree with you. Like, preseason rankings are full of crap because they're just guessing. Yep. Wait until you see them play.
I'm talking about.
And then make the rankings. But whatever. Tomato, tomato. It starts this weekend.
No, I think you and I are right.
And speaking of me being right, Jerry Jones thinks he has is right, and he has a, your boy, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, which makes it really difficult to be a fan sometimes. He has an idea that he says will fix the preseason and slash the regular season. He said, look, not a lot of people are going to the preseason games. You don't play your starters very much. So why don't we just have an 18-game regular season, 2 preseason games? He said that would provide an extra $1 billion to the players because they get revenue sharing.
Yes.
So that, he said, it equals out to about $500,000 to $700,000 in the players' pockets per year. What do you feel about an 18-game regular season?
I mean, you're not a player. You like it or not. Just a viewer. I'm thinking you're an actual athlete. No, I'm thinking like I'm thinking of being a fan of a certain team that's not doing so well around the 13-week mark. You look at two extra games, right? Yeah. You look at that as like, okay, we may have more of a chance to make the playoffs. I mean, I think it's kind of cool. I do like seeing underdog victories, you know, of teams that just really weren't great the first half of the season and then do better second half, and then who knows, man, they have a chance to win the Super Bowl. I like it. I don't know. I don't see it sticking. I really don't.
The players are against it, so it's not going to happen. Players don't want more games.
And he said,
Because of health reasons? Like there's more risk involved?
CTE. Brain injury.
Okay.
Also, he said, because these people are getting hurt in the preseason, so why not, you know, quit having the preseason games and have the regular season games? To me, Jerry Jones is totally wrong on this.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to do that, you're going to pay the players more, not just like that little 500, you're going to increase their salaries, and there's going to be more injuries because in the preseason they don't play, so you're losing. Yes, there are people that get hurt, like Marquise Lee out for the year. So there are a few people that they do get hurt, but if you are playing for real, like the stars are going to get hurt if you're playing two more all-out games.
Yeah, they play full strength.
They're playing four quarters and they're going hard. Yeah. You're going to lose more players. You're going to have to expand the rosters. The salary cap's going to have to go up. I just think it's a bad idea. I know he wants it because it's more money in the owner's pocket because you get the concessions. The games will be sold out instead of half full. And I'm still surprised that I cannot believe how many people, even if it's half full, go to a preseason football game.
And that's all we could really afford.
I went to one.
I know. And what did you think?
That was awesome. I had to leave after the first quarter, though. My girl got tired.
Dude, as a kid, we would go to the preseason Oiler games, you know, or Cowboy games, just because we can afford the preseason games. We couldn't afford regular season games. They were double the price sometimes.
Maybe that's it. I don't know. I just cannot believe people go watch. Because, like they said, the starters play one series, and then you're watching nothing but third-string players.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And those seats just get empty quick. You know, if there are people there at the beginning of the game, I mean, by halftime, it's half empty.
I mean, but I do the preseason's good for those guys that are never going to make the NFL roster.
Yeah.
The fourth stringers that get to say, quote unquote, I played in an NFL game.
Yeah.
Like if you're watching Hard Knocks right now, the four-string quarterback, the rookie.
Yeah, the blonde dude.
Yeah, he's going to get in a game. Okay, great. You played in an NFL game. Is he really going to make the roster? Probably not. But you can say you reached your dream of playing in an NFL game.
And obviously, Jerry Jones is thinking this in dollar signs.
He's saying dollar signs.
But he's an owner. That's what he's supposed to do.
That's why he is where he is, and we are where we are.
Does it stick?
No.
Ray?
No.
No.
Too many player injuries.
Yeah.
And now, speaking of betting.
Yeah, we have to work better on these transitions.
No, that was good.
No, it wasn't.
But every time it's like, speaking of, or like, okay, let's talk about
right.
this.
Well, see, that's why we need to get imaging or voice guy so you can kind of transition. Okay. But Yesterday, Ray's bets of the day were
Yankees and Mets. Sorry about that.
Oh, Tanaka.
No, you had the Mets -1.5, so they had to win by 2 runs.
Right.
And then you had the Mets +1.5.
The Mets +1.5, but the Cubs ripped them. The Yankees screwed me. New York basically screwed me. So the bet was wrong. So I'm 0-3 right now.
Wait, let's be clear about the bets. First one was the Mets and the Cubs.
Yes.
And I don't want to break it down and get crazy with you, but John Lester's getting hits for the Cubs. The Mets had that game in the bag and then lost it, okay? So I had that one won. And the Yankees,
no,
I have no idea what is going on in New York. Tanaka sucks.
What are you talking about, dude? He had a great first 4 innings.
Yes, he had one bad inning. He had one bad inning. And
that's
when you
baseball,
say,
dude.
As a better, you never say, I had that in the bag. Well, actually,
you
can say that because I had one in the bag. I'll tell you all about it here in a second.
No, tell us next episode.
You don't want.
Just kidding. I want to hear it.
Okay. So.
Jerk. Hey, tell us next week.
So the Mets lost 7-4. They had to lose by less than 2 runs.
So I'm 0-3 on my betting.
The Yankees
start out the
had to win by 2 runs. They lost 6-2. So you lost that one also.
Right.
That is like I was in Vegas, and we had a 5-game baseball parlay.
This is recent.
Yes.
Your last trip to Vegas?
Yes.
Okay.
And no, not last trip. But we come out of the
strippers or no?
No strippers.
Okay.
We come out of watching a concert, and it's the 9th inning, and we have the Angels. They're the last team in our
you
5.
You Bellagio, where were you?
We were at the Wynn, actually.
That was really important for the story.
No, you got to add that in.
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh,
sportsbook, the bar, drinks.
It's going to the bottom of the ninth. The Angels are up by 2 runs. Let's just go watch this, cash this ticket.
Were you drinking?
Oh, we were pounding the beers. Pounding the beers.
Bunch of dudes.
But no, dudes and women. There was women. There was women.
Sportsbook.
And so we go in there and sit down, and we watch the Angels get one out. Good. Then they give up a run. Okay, great. They're still up 1 run.
Was it packed in there?
No, it wasn't packed because it's nighttime. It's late baseball, West Coast baseball.
Okay.
And so there is there's first and second now. One out. Ground ball to the shortstop. All he has to do is throw it to second, throw it to first, double play. We win the 5-game parlay. He goes and tosses it to second and throws the ball into right field.
Little League.
Were people smoking in the sports book?
No.
It's not allowed.
No, we're in the non-smoking section.
Good.
Yeah, I don't think they can really do that.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that anymore. But anyway, okay. Throws it down the right field line, 2-run score, lose the 5-game parlay. So that's what, when you say, oh, I had it in the bag, you all never right. have it
compared
in the bag.
Compared to that, so, I did not have it
in
the bag.
But so far, Ray, is what, you're 0-3?
I'm 0-3.
0-3.
I'll get better.
Do you have a Ray's bet of the day?
I will. I'm going to release that after you guys do the best thing you saw.
Okay.
Eddie. Okay.
Eddie.
The best thing I saw was I saw it on, I don't know, on Instagram. I go through my explore button and start seeing different videos. And I saw a video of John Daly talking about how he was trying to get Tiger to drink during one of the tournaments. He was practicing and going to go work out. He's like, come on, come have a drink with me. So play the clip.
Tiger, come have a drink with us. He's in his slacks. He goes, no, I'm going to hit a few balls. 3 hours later, he comes back. He's in his gym shorts. I said, what the hell are you doing now? Come have a drink with us. Well, I'm going to go work out. I said, come have a drink with us.
Right.
Seriously, you've been out here for 9 hours. I've been drinking for 9. At least have one with us. So he goes, nah, Daly, if I had your talent, I'd be doing just what you're doing. And we got paired the next day. Kicked his ass. About the only time I ever kicked his ass, but I did. I shot 65 on him. He goes, you know what? I may have to start drinking.
Yes! John Daly, I love that dude.
That is a great clip.
And he's still in the driving range with a cigarette in his mouth hitting balls.
I mean, I feel like that dude just wasted talent. But you know what?
What do you mean wasted talent?
I'm going to say.
He lived life.
I was going to say, he lived life. He lived life how he wanted to live life. But at the same time, I think he has a drinking problem. So I don't know.
Okay, you're probably right. But I mean,
I think he has a problem.
But I mean, I'm not there to fix him. Like, I admire that he's just being him. You know, like, it's just being John Daly. That's who we know. Everyone else, they got to act a certain way or, like, whatever. I play golf. It's a respectable sport. Can't be smoking even though they smoke. Probably 20% of those dudes probably smoke cigarettes.
You think 20%?
Sure.
No chance.
Probably. But only John Daly will be the one that'll show you he does it.
Okay.
Love that.
And the best thing I saw on the internet, there's no audio clip. It's just we're going to put it on the Twitter page,
@SoreLoserShow
on Twitter. And it is just Manu. I watched Manu Ginobili clips all day long. But this is one thing I'm going to miss from Manu is my man, Charles Barkley, when I watched Inside the NBA on TNT, and this is the yell I'm going to miss so much.
My new Ginobili! Ginobili!
So annoying.
That's all you
do. He's moving up my list, and that's AK-47. That's Kirilenko, because we just saw...
Oh, Ginobili!
Well, I'm going to tell you, he's number 7 right now.
Oh, my God! Ginobili! Ginobili!
Charles Barkley loved him. We all loved him. And I'm going to put up a video of him. And the way he passed the ball, amazing. No-look passes behind the back, through the opponent's legs. Just so good.
I've never seen a player sacrifice their body the way he did.
Yes. Go down a rabbit hole today and just type in Manu Ginobili clips on YouTube, and you will spend hours.
Thanks, dude. I'll do that.
It's amazing. I did. I spent hours yesterday.
Yeah, I'll do that today.
All right, I got my bet of the day.
Oh, bet of the day.
Here we go. Right. Can he go 0-4, or will he have his first betting victory?
All right, I'm going back to New York with this. Flushing Meadows, U.S. Open. It's an even bet, so I'm not picking
this
tennis.
This is tennis.
Yeah, tennis. Tennis. Going Benoit Paire over Dennis Novak, and it's basically even. I'm not picking a huge favorite. These guys are neck and neck, so it's going to be around, you're looking at about 4 in the afternoon Central Time.
I'm sorry, who are these players?
Benoit Paire over Dennis Novak. Go ahead.
Where are they from? Who's who?
Where are they from?
Yeah, how do you pick this?
Let me finish my spiel.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So call your bookie, lock it up.
What's his name?
Lock it up. Benoit
Paire.
Oh.
I've loved how the guys played. I have watched him a couple times on the Tennis Channel. I wish I could give you a crazy description.
You watch the Tennis Channel?
Absolutely, until my chick cut it off. It was $5 a month.
Dude, I had to get rid of the Golf Channel, too.
Dude, God, that Tennis Channel was pretty money. I might actually have to fire that back up. But most of the U.S. Open's on ESPN. But yeah, so try and get this winning streak going.
And you have Paire over Novak.
Novak over Dennis Novak.
All right, I got it. It's right here. Yep.
Let me see.
Well, and it's not Novak Djokovic. Don't get confused.
I know
with
that's
that.
What I thought. Thought it was
all
Joker,
right.
But
well, so. That's a wrap, boys. That's so go bet your house on Paire.
If you guys got a couple extra dollars sitting around the house, call the bookie. Meet him in the back alley. You don't want to meet him in the front of your house where your kids can see.
I almost kind of want to be your bookie because I'm going to make a lot of money.
Oh, dude, but your bookie makes what? 10% off your bets? Loaded.
No. He makes anything he loses.
Oh, that's true. But even everything he wins, he takes 10% too.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I want to be raised bookie.
It's a win-win for the bookie.
That's why you got to be a bookie.
My dad used to have a bookie named The Devil. That's what he called him. We knew it was The Devil. And he had this pickup truck and that didn't go into reverse. So he would go right into my yard and wouldn't be able to back it up. So he couldn't park in the driveway because he can't back up the truck. So he would just park in the yard. And he'd knock on the door. I'm like, oh, Dad, the devil's here. The devil would always be like, where's your dad? He owes me money.
Hey, Dad, that guy that I never see you hanging out with is at the door again.
Dad, the devil's here. And the devil would always be like, hey, I know he's here. I'm like, no, really, man, my dad's not here. No, I know he's here. I'm like, no, I swear, my dad's not here.
He said you owe him a lot of jelly beans.
Dad, why do you owe him so many jelly beans? Don't worry about it, son. Go back to your room.
Dang, dude, that's when bookies were real people.
I still have friends that are bookies.
It still happens.
My buddy was a bookie in college.
Oh, avoid the names.
I almost said his name.
I think the devil was a code name, too, by the way.
And let's just say he had to handle some business a couple times.
What do you mean? Like whack some knees?
I didn't whack some knees, but he knocked a couple people out.
Shut up.
Yeah.
But see, I never understand that because that means that the bookies are doing it on credit. I always assume that take the money.
It's almost like,
until you get to a certain amount. Like, they give you a certain level where you can get to. At least this is how my buddy did it. Once you owed him $400, it was time to pay. Or else you couldn't pay some more bet.
My dad must have never paid up front because the devil was there every week.
I always thought you had to pay up front.
No. Because you usually know the people that you're working with.
Find me a bookie today.
And so, yeah.
They're listening. Yeah, dude. You live in Nashville?
You don't have to pay up front?
No.
But, and see, and it'd be a good week when the devil would show up with the envelope. That's a good week.
And the benefit of having a bookie is you can get paid next day if you want to. Boom.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, Eddie and I, tonight, we have a fantasy football draft. Ray doesn't play fantasy football except for the weekly. So, we'll tell you all about the draft tomorrow. We'll talk fantasy.
Woo!
We'll talk sports. We'll talk everything. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.
Follow us on our Twitter. It's Sore Losers Show on Twitter. And then our Instagram page is up there, too. Sore Losers Podcast on Instagram.
You know what I say.
My gosh, we gotta get that end right.
Benoit Paire, bring it to daddy. lock of the week.
I want to go home. Hit my buzzer, dude. I'm going to go home and drink some beer.
We're already done. We hit the buzzer once, guys. We got to quit with the buzzer.
Wait,
people
I thought
get
we all had one.
Oh, my gosh.
What do you mean people get annoyed? Why? Since one of you care
you
about
had,
what people
you
say?
You had your buzzer. I had mine. Bizzle still has his buzzer.
No, he started the buzzer.
Manu. Enjoy retirement. Manu Ginobili, enjoy retirement. You deserve it. I mean, I don't even know any Spanish to say, but just we love you, man.
Hey,
we
guys,
love you.
Guys, really a quick little thing, though. I did notice that we have some downloads in other countries. Kind of cool. Taiwan. 12 people have listened to our podcast in Taiwan. How cool is that?
Oh, that's pretty cool. All right, you interrupted my buzzer.
Wait, New Zealand, too. Okay. 27 listeners in New Zealand. What up, guys? Hey there, mate. I think that's Australia. 30 in Germany. I've never seen that one before. Sauerkraut. Bratwurst.
That's it.
Manu. Goodbye.